title of our message is Attitude is Everything. Yeah. How many of us can say amen? Amen. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, if you want to turn there with me. Peter says, therefore, guard up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, it was the custom in Bible time for men and women to wear long robes. And whenever they had to move quickly, without any hindrances, they would roll up the robes and tie them in their belt or their waistbands. And Peter used this example as he is encouraging believers to prepare for the Christian walk and for the Christian struggles by rolling up the robes of their mind. That is, to prepare their minds for what is ahead. Church, we need to prepare our minds for what is ahead. Amen? Amen. And anything that would slow down their walk and hinder their movement was to be rolled up to give place to the will of God in their life. And church, believe me when I say this, that if there is anything that hinders our movement, it's a negative attitude. I didn't hear any amen on that. Someone said, a bad attitude is like a flat tire. If you don't change it, you'll never go anywhere. Your attitude matters. How many of us can say amen to that? Amen. And they said that the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude. Now, attitude, when we talk about attitude is nothing more than an internal position or a feeling, an inner feeling about someone or something. Now, your attitude can cause you to either fail or succeed in life. I was talking to one of our young men, Bruce, before the service, who is going to college. He's a very smart young man, and I'm so glad and so proud of him to see how God is moving in his life, and he's going to college. He's shining up right there. And he's about to finish soon a career in engineering. And I was telling him this, sharing from my own experience, a degree is not everything in life. Knowledge is not everything in life. Attitude makes a difference between failure and success in life. Because your bad attitude can affect anyone that you come across. Your bad attitude robs you of joy. And it's also irritating to those that you come in contact on a daily basis. A bad attitude is a huge, say huge, stumbling block for the unbelievers. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And yet, when you have a negative attitude, the people that know you don't even want to be near you. And sadly, so many people, including Christians, have a negative attitude. But God's word commands us to form a new attitude. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds and to form in us the mind and the thoughts of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, tonight, I want us to explore ways by which we can develop a Christ-like attitude. First of all, we need to understand how attitudes are formed. And according to the psychologist Kendra Sherry, there are some factors that influence how attitude form. And the first one is life experiences. It's the things that we have experienced personally or things that we have observed, that we have watched in life. There was a man in the Bible called Nathanael who had a very negative attitude towards people outside of his neighborhood. And when Nathanael found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, in the Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 46, he says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He couldn't believe that Jesus Christ the Messiah would come from a place called Nazareth. You better be careful, because that you despise might be that God is about to use mightily in your life. Amen. He couldn't believe that the Messiah would come from a place called Nazareth, a small town in Galilee. And why did he look down on people from Nazareth? Well, very simply, because he had experienced discrimination himself in his life. He was also from a small town in Galilee. And back in those days, people from Jerusalem looked down on people from Galilee. So Nathanael had experienced discrimination in his own life. And because he learned to be discriminated, he was now looking for people that he can also look down. You see, church, what am I saying? That experience develops negative attitudes. Many times, the pain and the injustice and the suffering that we have experienced in life, if we are not careful and we don't guard our hearts, can give room to a negative attitude. Yeah. Now, number two, a second factor that influences how attitudes are formed is lessons learned. Yeah. Wow. Attitudes can be learned in a variety of ways. People learn attitudes from the people around them. That's why we have to be very careful who we surround ourselves with. Wow. You know, many times when you find people that are upset with the pastor, are upset with the church for any reason, they begin to teach that negative attitude to other members of the church. Why? Because attitude can be learned from the people around us. When someone that you admire or someone that you are close with has a particular attitude, you are more likely to develop the same thinking. For example, children learn and observe the attitudes of their parents. And usually, they demonstrate the similar outlook in life. If you complain about your child having a negative attitude towards church, perhaps we need to check our attitude ourselves towards church. If your child has a negative attitude about something or someone in life, it could be that they learned it from you. Many times you talk to young people and they have a very negative attitude towards marriage. And it doesn't take 5 minutes in talking with them to find out that they were raised in a home where there was no healthy marriage. In a home where there was a lot of arguing and strife between the parents, and they learned to develop a negative attitude towards marriage. Why? Because that's what they observe at home. So negative attitudes can be learned from others. Another factor that influences how attitudes are formed is social standards or social norms. And norms and social standards are about what society considers to be appropriate behaviors. For instance, haven't you observed how most people have a negative attitude towards emotional men? How most people have a negative attitude towards men that cry or show emotions? Why? Because society believes that men are not supposed to show any emotions. So when you find a man that is sensitive and shows emotion, immediately people feel funny about that. Where do they learn that? It's a social norm. It's a social standard. For instance, back in Bible days, men used to use long robes. Try wearing a long robe nowadays and walk through Hollywood Boulevard and you're going to have the traffic stop. Because nowadays, people would have a very negative attitude to a man using long robes. What are those? Social norms, social standards. Now, to develop a Christ-like attitude, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need God to renew our minds and to heal us from emotions that are giving room to a negative attitude. So first we need to identify and repent of bad attitudes. Amen. Now attitudes are inner feelings. They are inner thoughts. They are hidden within us. Nobody knows them except God and you. But usually when we have a feeling or a thought that is giving room to a negative attitude, usually, eventually, that feeling or that emotion is going to be, it's going to come out in our words, or it's going to come out in our actions. Therefore, to change your attitude, you must allow God to change and heal the feelings and the thoughts that are giving room for a bad attitude. Amen? David said in Psalm 119, verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." You see, having Bible knowledge is not enough. We must allow the truth of the Bible to come down from the mind down to the heart and do change and do healing and do transformation. Now, we are in a partnership with God. God can heal us. God can renew our minds. God can change our bad attitude. But we have a part to play to facilitate this change. Amen? Now, right now, I want us to suggest to you three things that you can do that would allow God or facilitate the hand of God to change your attitude. And if you want to write them down, and encourage you to do so. Number one, you must believe that what God gives you will lead you to what you need. We must believe that what God gives us will lead us to what we need. Now, I'm reminded of the story about a young man who was getting ready to graduate from college. And for many months, he had admired a beautiful red sports car. And knowing that his father had money and could afford buying the car for him, he told his dad on several occasions, "Dad, when I graduate, all that I want is for you to buy me that car." And finally, on the morning of his graduation, the young man's father called him into his private office. And his father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son. And how proud he was that he was finally graduating from college, and how much he loved him. And he handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. And the boy, curious but disappointed, opened the box, and he found a lovely, brand new, leather-bound Bible. Amen. With the young man's name embossed in gold. And the son got so upset at him that he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all the money that you have in the bank and all you give me is a Bible." Wow. He got upset, turned his back towards his dad, stormed out of the house, leaving the Bible behind. Many years passed. And the young man became very successful in business. He had his own family now. He had his own home. And one day, when he least expected, he received a telegram telling him that his father had passed away. And that he needed to come home immediately to take care of things. And when he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and remorse and regret filled his heart. And he began to go through his father's things. And he began to go through his office and through his papers and looking for important papers and documents. When all of a sudden, he sees the still new Bible just as he had left it years ago. And with tears and great remorse, he opened the Bible and he began to turn the pages, when suddenly a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. And it had a tag: with the dealer's name, the dealer's address, and the name of the salesman. And on the tag was the date of his graduation, along with the words, paid in full. And as I read this story, I asked myself this question. How many times do we also miss God's blessings in our lives simply because they are not packed as we expect them? You see, in that job that you despise so much, that's where your blessing might be. In that relationship that you despise so much, that's where your blessing might be. And we need to learn to trust God in whatever places, in whatever circumstances he has allowed to come to our lives. Because what he gives you is preparing you for what is ahead. I remember years ago, I had a job in DCF. And I was working in DCF, and I began to hate that job simply because it's not easy to deal with the cases of children and youth that is abandoned and neglected by their own families. And after a while, it takes a toll on you emotionally. And I began to cry out to God to provide another means of employment for me at the time. And I remember one day I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he says to me, from this job, you're going to find your destiny in my kingdom. And years after, not even knowing, because I had worked for DCF and because I had experience in working with children, that was one of the things that God used to open a door for me to come and work in full-time ministry in church. What am I saying? That what God has given you now is what God is going to use to launch you into your destiny. Amen? There is a hidden blessing for you right there in the place that you're in. If you need to wait on God, you need to trust on God. And in his time, his will be done for your life. Amen? Amen. Yes. Number two, choose joy despite of your circumstances. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Always, how often?
Always.
Always be full of joy in the Lord. If you didn't get it the first time, he says, let me say it again.
Rejoice.
Church, you gotta determine. You gotta make a decision that no matter what you're going through, you are not gonna allow people, and you are not gonna allow the devil, and you are not gonna allow circumstances to rob you of the joy of the Lord. You gotta determine that, because this life is tough. There's some people that are very difficult to get along with. And if you allow them, they're going to take the joy away from you every single instant of your life. But every morning, I don't know about you, but I have learned to do this. No matter what happens to me today, no matter who I come across, help me, Holy Spirit, to keep your joy, to keep your joy in my heart, no matter what. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes.
Sometimes you got to learn to laugh at yourself. Sometimes you got to learn how to laugh at the devil. Sometimes you got to learn how to laugh at the stuff that he throws at you. I'm reminding of the story of a young man. His name was Mark, and he was born without hands. And for many people, that handicap could cause great embarrassment. It could become an excuse for underachieving, and maybe even paralyze people in life if they allow it, but not for Mark. Without hands, this young man played high school football, and then he went on to play middle linebacker at Azusa Pacific University in Southern California. And one day, when he was still a college student, He went to the supermarket to do groceries. And he was looking in the aisle of cereal boxes. And two kids came up to him. And kids being kids, they didn't know yet that it was not polite to stare at someone's handicap. And they were staring at him. And the kids finally approached him and asked him one question. "Hey, mister, where are your hands?" And Mark looked at them and said, "Oh, no. You know what happened? I was looking at the cereal boxes, and I must have set them down there, and I forgot them." And sure enough, the kids took dashing, running over to the cereal boxes, and they started looking for his hands all over the place. And Mark could hardly contain himself laughing. Church, you gotta determine not to allow no one and nothing to take away the joy of God from your heart. Hallelujah. We gotta learn to have a sense of humor. Sometimes we gotta learn how to make fun of ourselves and laugh at ourselves. There is nothing worthwhile of losing your job. This last 8 months were very difficult for our pastor. And I'm going to brag about her if it's all right with you for a minute. Hopefully she won't fire me after this. Pastor could have had a very negative attitude this last 8 months. She went through 3 surgeries in a matter of 2 months, 6 chemotherapies, and 30 radiation treatments. She could have had, if anyone could have had a bad attitude, it could have been Pastor Maria. If anyone could have lost her joy, it would have been Pastor Maria. But church, we ought to be proud of our pastor. She did not have a bad attitude at all. She was full of the peace of the Lord and the joy of the Lord at all times. I'm sure she had her moments because she's human. But she did not allow the cancer to rob her of the joy and the peace of God. She never lost her sense of humor. How many of you know that Pastor Maria has a sense of humor? She never lost her sense of humor when she went through the cancer. And I can tell you so many stories, but I won't because I need to keep my job in ministry. But I'm sure that as the next week begins to unfold and she continues to preach, she will be sharing more with us about what she went through. But just a little one, if it's okay. She went through 30 radiation treatments. And, you know, she had to go every day from Monday to Friday, and she would go there early in the morning. And the first day, I was kind of worried, and I haven't heard from her, so I kind of began to text her, "Pastor, how you doing?" And then after a while, she finally replied to me, and she says this, "Well, I'm glowing in the dark." Church, no matter what you're going through, determine in your heart, "I am not going to allow no one. I am not going to allow sickness. I am not going to allow the devil. I am not going to allow circumstances to steal the joy of God from my heart." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I have more, but I won't, like I said, because I need to keep my job in ministry. I have bills to pay. Hallelujah. And lastly, lose sight of self. Oh, yes. And look to the needs of others. Right. My God. You want to have a good attitude in life. Lose sight of self. And look to the needs of others. Philippians chapter 2 verse 4 in the Message Bible says it this way. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. You see, when we are preoccupied with self, when we are preoccupied about satisfying our own needs and having our own way, we sure enough are going to give room for a bad attitude. Selfish people have always a bad attitude. Prideful people, people that do not know how to love with the love of Christ, always have a rotten attitude. And I fear them more than the devil. But if we learn to love with the love of Christ, if we learn to have that servant heart that Jesus had, if there is anybody that could have had a rotten attitude, it was Jesus. Especially when he was dying on the cross. Everybody deserted him. He didn't deserve to be on the cross. He could have had a very bad attitude that day. But thank God that even in his worst moments on the cross, he had love. He had mercy. He didn't pronounce judgment, but rather said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I'm going to share with you a very inspiring story that I came to learn recently. And it's about my third cousin, Luisa. Luisa is a very successful career woman. She is an executive producer for a major TV network. As a matter of fact, a lot of the shows that we watch on TV have been produced by her. Among the Hispanic community, there was a very popular TV show called Sábado Gigante. Anybody remember it? La Teresita. Well, Sábado Gigante was produced by Luisa, my cousin, for over 20 years. Very successful career. One day, she started feeling sick. And she noticed that when she would walk and exercise, she would lose her balance. And she went to the doctor for a regular checkup. And a few days after the doctor, they called her and they told her, you must come in right away. We have to talk to you. And that morning, they told her that she had an inoperable brain tumor. And they asked her to get all her affairs in order because she don't have much time to live. She had to stop working. She had a gorgeous house in Miami, and she had to move out of their house because she lost her income, and it was a six-figure income. And she moved in with her mother. She's married, and she has two boys. One is 8, and the other one is 9. There's no hope for her. She's going through extensive chemotherapy right now and radiation, trying to prolong her life for a few years. But I'm claiming Jesus' healing over her life. And rather than wasting her time with a bad attitude, if there is anyone that can have a bad attitude right now, it's Lisa. But she's using every opportunity that she has to encourage others. As a matter of fact, she's writing a blog now. And she's getting hundreds of followers to follow her. And she said in her blog, if there is anything that I have to thank this Mr. Tumor, is that I'm finally able to do what I always wanted to do, which is to become a writer. So she's using every opportunity that she has to encourage others through her blog. I have subscribed to her blog and I read it every week. And let me tell you, sometimes I sit there writing her stories and I crack up laughing because she's even funny about it. And she's using every opportunity that she gets to spend time with her family, doing fun things with them. and making happy memories for her boys. And recently, I was reading in her blog that they went on a short vacation to Deerfield Beach. Yeah, that is Luisa and her two boys. And they went on a short vacation to Deerfield Beach. That is her in the vacation. And for 2 days, while her husband and the boys were at the beach, she couldn't get out of the hotel room because she was feeling so weak and so sick. And on the third day, she finally gets enough strength to get out of the room and go down to the beach and join her husband and the two boys, as you can see in the picture. And while she's on the beach, Max, the one holding the bottle, comes out of the water and says, "Mommy, mommy, 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 look, I found a bottle." And when she gets the bottle, she notices that there is a message inside, and she's holding the message right there, and that's the bottle that the little boy found. And she opens the bottle, and she notices that there is a message, as you can see, inside. And she writes on her blog as follows. "I pull the wax cork off and slowly read the type message," and she's holding it in her hand. "But I had to stop reading almost immediately. The tears were coming fast, and with so many people standing around and my kids standing in front, I read. I write this." This is a note that she's holding in her hand. "I write this in honor of my beautiful, courageous daughter. Her name was Catherine Rose. She battled with brain cancer. She battled an incurable brain tumor. Luisa wrote, I had to stop there and give Javier, her son, the paper. I couldn't control the tears as Max turned to his audience and said, it's for my mommy. The message is for my mommy. She has a brain tumor and she loves the ocean. And Javier, the other little boy, had to continue and the message went on to say, she loved the ocean. She loved all living things. And her kindness was immeasurable. If you find this bottle, would you be so kind to take a picture?" And that's exactly what Luisa did. "And tell me where it was discovered. And send her on her next adventure. Forever young, thank you, your mom. Dear child, I miss you and I love you so much until we meet again." And Luisa says that the mother of Catherine Rose, who was a Christian, by the way, this is a Christian family. That's why I want to share this story with you, because it had touched me so much. Luisa said that the mother included her email address in the note. And she contacted her, and the lady called her. "Luisa is not saved yet, and I'm going to ask you tonight if it's okay with you before we finish this service that we will pray for her. And that she would surrender her life to Jesus." But she said that the mother had included the email address in the note, and she contacted her. And this lady prayed with her over the phone. And she shared wonderful information about her daughter, about her life, about her life moments in earth, and how they had found encouragement in the word of God, and how they have lifted up in prayer. And it turned out, as Luisa is talking to this woman who is a Christian, that this mother who lost her daughter from a brain tumor Do you think that there is anyone that can have a bad attitude right now but that mother? She lost her daughter from a brain tumor, but despite of her grief, despite of her pain, she has come up with a wonderful idea. And it's this. She puts that message, the same message, in crystal bottles. And she goes through different states and different areas in the United States, and she throws them in the ocean. And the bottles have been found by numerous people throughout the world. She has even gotten calls from people as far as Australia that have found the bottles with the message. And somehow, the thing that amazes me most, church, and this is the grace of God, that somehow the majority of the people that find the bottles like Luisa are also suffering from cancer themselves. Wow. And the message in the bottle brings encouragement to them in the midst of their trials. Luisa says in her blog, "For me, despite of how bad I was feeling that day, finding this bottle and talking to this lady was like God was talking to me himself, letting me know that he loves me, letting me know that he cares for me, and he knows my suffering." Church, what am I saying? Rather than allowing the loss of her daughter to turn her bitter and to give room for a bad attitude, this lovely mother now forgets about her own pain, forgets about her own suffering, and is serving others. Why don't you allow God to use your pain to bless others? She brings messages of hope to those that are suffering. That day, Luisa found hope in that note. And me and other members of my family are praying for her. And I believe also when I read that blog that morning, that was God telling us, I am hearing your prayers and I am moving in her life. Folks, a bad attitude hold us from everything that God has for us in life. We need to allow God to heal us. We need to allow God to heal us from our past, from the suffering and the injustice that we have suffered in this life. And change the feelings and the thoughts that give room to a bad attitude. Believe, church, that what God gives you will lead you to what you need. Choose joy no matter what. Despite of your circumstances, despite of what people do to you, choose joy in the name of Jesus. Forget about yourself. Forget about yourself for some time. And allow God to use you. Allow God to use me to bring hope, to bring peace and joy to those that are suffering. In the name of Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Lord, thank you for your word, oh God. And I pray, oh God, that beginning with me, oh God, because we all need this, oh Lord, that through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you will form in us the mind and the thoughts of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, heal us from the feelings, the emotions, and the thoughts that are giving room to a bad attitude. That when others look at us, they will see your peace, they will see your joy, they will see your faith, they will see your truth in us, no matter what we are going through. Lord, we need you because we cannot do this on our own. forming us, the mind and the thoughts of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And let today make a difference in our life. I pray that this will not be another sermon, that it will not be another teaching that we say amen to, but we don't allow it to change us, oh God. But I pray that the sweet Holy Spirit will come now and would seal this message. It would record this word in the table of our hearts. Let us find inspiration in the stories and the testimonies that we have listened to tonight, oh God. People that have all the reason in the world, including our dear Pastor Maria, Jesus, to have a bad attitude, oh Lord. But instead, they chose to have your peace. They chose to have your joy no matter what, oh God. What an inspiration this dear woman is that just lost her daughter to a brain tumor. And rather than allowing that situation to open in her bitterness and a bad attitude, she's putting her own grief and her own pain and her own need aside for a moment to reach out and help those that are going through sickness, those that are suffering, those that are in despair, like my own cousin Luisa, oh God. Let this story inspire us to forget about ourselves long enough to be able to see the needs of others, to be able to see the suffering of others, and allow you, oh dear Jesus, to use us to minister hope, to encourage their hearts, and to help them in any way we can. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit. Sweet Holy Spirit. Let us not leave this place the same. Deal with our hearts right now. Convict us of feelings that we might be holding inside, experiences that we have gone through. I think the majority of us in this room can say, I have experienced injustice. I have experienced discrimination. Lord, and I pray that we would not allow that experience to give room for a bad attitude in us, but that we will surrender our pain, that we will surrender the injustice that we have gone through in life to you right now in the name of Jesus. And that you will heal us. That you will set us free from bitterness and unforgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. So that we will walk in this life from now on with the mind, with the thoughts of Christ, with the supernatural love of God. In Jesus' mighty name.